Welcome to Calm, Clear and Helpful, a weekly podcast series on taking good care of yourself and others. Introducing you to wellness professionals ready to inform, assist and inspire. Today's topic is how to handle unexpected retirement stress. My guest is Dr. Hanneke van Sail Edeling, counseling psychologist from Johannesburg. Welcome back on the show, Hanneke.
Hello, Marit. It's lovely to be back.
To our listeners, thank you for joining us. After our conversation, Hanneke will give us 3 tips for making the best of life, and then it will be fun question time. Hanneke, for those who haven't listened to our other episodes, could you please explain what you do?
I'm a counseling psychologist in private practice. So people come to see me about various life stages and challenges. My current focus is on issues of positive living and aging, and obviously retirement and retirement preparation is a very large part of that. So the work is about people who struggle to adjust, who need help with planning, because one of our big focus areas is planning in advance so that you don't get terrible backlash from unexpected things that happen in your retirement.
And you also do corporate work, not so?
I do talks for corporates, but it's mostly at the moment at home. And then the other interesting thing is quite a lot of work for retirement facilities to speak about positive living and aging to their retired clients.
As we're looking at retirement today, and it has so many facets, would you like to introduce our topic?
You know, I remember when I was a child, my grandfather sat on the stoop from when he was about 40. And that was when he stopped working, in a sense. And the old idea about retirement is that you stop work and you sit and you do pretty much nothing. Mm. But nowadays, it's a very, very different story. You know, we are often a little bit misled about the picture that's portrayed about retirement in the media. They have these elegant people in pale pastels walking on the beach barefoot into the sunset kind of deal. And people think that retirement is one long party until you have to meet the reality of it, and then all hell breaks loose. So the retirement day for me is like the wedding day that people plan for. It's only one day in a very long process. And so, yes, by all means, have the party and get the watch, but please plan well in advance. We need a 5 to 10 year lead in to make the transition smooth and easy. Otherwise, it's very much like a sheer drop that one gets from one day to the next. And it's this infinite void that one steps into that can be incredibly disconcerting.
For the purposes of our conversation, how would you define retirement?
So retirement for most people means leaving formal employment or stopping work. The original meaning of the word is very interesting, though, and rather negative. It means things like retreat from action or danger, drawing back to safety and seclusion. And other associations are things like loneliness and isolation and obscurity. Unfortunately, these negative attributions are quite common in people's minds. And it's those things that we try to work with and change. Because you know that one's subconscious will find for you what you think about a lot. So if you think about negative things, it's going to manifest those negative things for you. So the whole idea is to get a good, solid, positive picture. And what we refer to as a positive homing thought, the you and the what that you want for yourself in the future, to really make that a reality and work towards that.
Why is the traditional concept of a 3-stage work life due for an overhaul? I read this in one of the articles you wrote.
You know, back to the grandfather story, they studied, worked, retired. And in fact, when the whole retirement concept which is quite a new concept, was introduced by Bismarck. He worked on lifespan plus about 3 years.
Sure.
But in our age of longevity, that is a very long time, much longer than we'd previously had to deal with. You know, it struck me that after retirement, you can have 35 more years until you're 100. And a lot of people are living to 100. They're actually thinking that people can easily get to 120 or 150. So if you have this conventional three-phase life, you have that retirement phase of 30 to 40 years where nothing happens. Now, I was thinking that the first 35 years of one's life is incredibly eventful. It's school, it's study, it's marriage, it's children, it's job, all of those things. All those things are still possible in the last 35 years too. So why not mine this time and make it useful? So there's a lovely book called The 100-Year Life that Linda Grattan wrote. And she explains very nicely how people nowadays really need to reinvent, change with the times. Because just in my lifetime, technology and so on has changed so much that we're going to really miss the bus completely if we don't stay abreast of all these changes.
Yeah, and technology also makes it easier to do things that were completely impossible before.
There are so many jobs that we never knew even existed, and that didn't exist actually at that time. Mm-hmm. And things like Zoom, in fact, I think it's the only thing that the lockdown has done that was good, is we've realized that we're not so office bound, which is wonderful if one wants to retire, because you don't actually have to step out completely. You can phase out and work remotely and do things that you never thought possible in the having to go to the office era.
Hanneke, retirement is forced upon some individuals while others retire willingly. Could you comment?
I think anything that's forced on one is really horrible. So we tend to resist that. But my sense is that if you're working for a boss or in a corporate or in an organization, you know when the retirement age is. So it really isn't forced. It's more that we don't want to. We're unwilling to let go. And for most people at age 60 or 65, they're at the prime of their experience. They still have a lot of life left in them. It's not like the old days where you were over the hill at 40. So people really don't want to retire at that time. But in some companies, they become too expensive. They need to bring younger people on board. And so the sense is of being pushed. But I think knowing that, one can prepare for that and start finding some part-time jobs for yourself, finding other interests, getting other qualifications, developing your hobbies into possible smaller sources of income. Because that's the other thing, that with a 35-year time where you're not actively earning a salary, most people don't have the finances to make that a viable option. So we do need to extend the work life to some extent.
Yeah, most people I know in my age group, I'm in my 60s, so most people are very, very concerned about this matter.
Yes, and so that's why we say you need at least a 5 to 10 year lead-in so that you can develop new skills and find other ways of earning a bit of money.
Hanneke, in something you wrote, you mentioned the stages of retirement. Could you please tell us about those?
You know, it's important to realize that retirement is a process. It's not an event like we spoke about last time. But in the literature, you find that there are 5 or 6 stages that people talk about. So the one is the pre-retirement phase, where plans are made, and that is where we say start 5 to 10 years before the retirement date. Then there's the retirement event, which is like the wedding day and then the happily ever after. Then there's a kind of a honeymoon phase. Now, this usually is from a month to a year where people think, oh, isn't that wonderful? I don't have to get up early. I can do whatever I want. And then reality hits them. Some of my friends who work in this area talk about it as the SMS syndrome, the six-month syndrome, where you feel very lost and confused with a serious lack of purpose. I refer to it as the what now phase. One of my favorite little cartoons is where these people are traveling over the Grand Canyon in a helicopter, and they say, well, we've retired and we've traveled and we did the 110 things you should do before you die. What now? And it's that what now. So in the first year or two, that what now is a very serious issue. I had someone in my practice just last week who came in and said, he's now lost. Yeah. He's enjoyed the freedom. He actually likes the freedom. He doesn't really want to go back to the office and that whole setup. But what now? And it's an interesting exploration, I must say. So after the what now, we have the reorientation where people start to change their attitudes and behaviors. And then they settle into a new routine, which is your sixth stage. And the new routines are for better matching with one's personal needs and with your family needs. But a lot of negotiation in the family and with spouses or partners needs to happen in that time to make it suitable for both. One of the terms that we use is that the changes have to be ecologically sound. It has to suit everybody in your system. Otherwise, it's not okay if I sit in my seat still by and the husband wants to stay in Joburg. We need to find some kind of a solution that suits the both of us.
I think one can already see that it's much more complex than one might think at first.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes.
Yeah. Hanneke, today we're talking about unexpected retirement stress, and you have given us an introduction to retirement. Could you please define stress?
Stress is the non-specific response of your body to any demand or perceived threat. So any change that we have to do is stressful, though not all stresses are equally horrible. So there is what we refer to as eustress, which is kind of a good and exciting stress. And then what we usually refer to as stress is more the distress, which is difficult and not so easy to deal with. But what one needs to remember is that even a positive situation, and even if you have chosen it, requires that your body has to adapt. And a lot of people don't realize how exceptionally demanding that is of us physically. And so for every emotion, for every change, for every behavior that we do, there are chemicals that are rushing around in your system, and they need to be repaired and replenished. And so if they're not replenished, we are living off store, and if your reserves are done, then there's some kind of a breakdown. And so people think that retirement should be this lovely holiday. And meanwhile, there are so many changes that they don't realize how is it that I'm so physically affected by that. So we need to make sure that we replenish our nutrients, that we take good care of our bodies in that time, because we really only last for as long as our reserves can hold out. The other thing to remember is what we think about the situation and the meaning that we give to what's happening to us contributes hugely to how stressful it is or not. There's a lovely book by Kelly McGonigal who writes about the upside of stress. And she talks, for example, about the guys who do very interesting work in the military or so. They're quite charged up by all the challenges, but it still takes it out of their body. But they don't necessarily see those challenges as terrible. They see that as exciting and opportunities for growth. So how we frame what happens to us is also part of what makes it stressful or not. And just to connect with an earlier point, if you feel pushed out and not wanted anymore by your job, the retirement situation is probably going to be much more stressful for you than if you think, oh, isn't this wonderful? It now is giving me opportunities to develop all my talents.
Why can retirement specifically be so stressful? You have mentioned some points.
Right. There's quite a lot extra. Yeah. So this is really what I think we need to alert people to. You know, only about 10% of people have adequate financial planning for retirement. So there are all these financial stresses that come in retirement that can be very awkward. But fewer than that know that there are other issues that you need to look for in your retirement planning. So it's usually not just the finances that are a problem, it's the emotional, spiritual, social issues that surround it that are so problematic and make retirement more stressful than we used to think. So we need to remember that retirement is a major life orientation that requires many mindset changes. And the person that you were in your work life is not the person that you're going to be in your retirement. You're probably going to have many different ways of being, ways of thinking. Because remember, when you're working, you have to make your mark in the world. You have to establish yourself. You have to get your children through school and all of those. Now all of that is done. And so now the focus shifts into not so much being a human doing, but becoming a human being. And that for some people is quite an eye-opener. So now just to get back to some of the other stresses, there are huge losses with retirement, where most of the losses are associated with the attention from work, the sense of belonging, the sense that I'm needed, that I have a purpose, that I have a reason to get out of bed. But there are also huge losses of importance. We ask people, who are you without your CV? And that can keep you busy for a while. But the losses of friends can be a very big challenge. Now, it's not just the loss of work friends. It's also people move away, they go overseas, they die. And so there is huge attrition in one's social setup. And in fact, there's a little quote. They say the number one challenge people faced in retirement was not being able to replace the social connections that had sustained them for so long at work. So that is where part of the big void comes in. And then we also have many needs that are now not fulfilled anymore. So it's the need for security from a regular income, from knowing where I am, how I spend my days. The need for variety isn't met so much if you're sitting on your stoop the whole time. The need for significance, to make a contribution, for connection with people, for personal growth. Those needs are really easily met when we have families, when we are working, but suddenly now when all of that stops, and all of those things coincide, and we'll talk about that just now. So many of the changes are one on top of the other, and then all those changes are incredibly demanding, and our stress level goes up hugely. So the other big strain that we've spoken about is finances in retirement. And healthcare is a very big part of that. And healthcare becoming increasingly costly is a very big worry for people. There are also other unforeseen expenses like care and long-term care, thousands of rand a month that you now have to manufacture from somewhere. And then moving and household repairs and insurance. We were talking about just the recent rain, what havoc has created.
Yes, here in Johannesburg. Yeah.
In our houses. So all of those constant repairs and so are massive drains on our finances. The other that people tend to maybe not focus on is that many of us still have older parents that need care. And with the lockdown and so on, many of our children had serious financial crises. And so we're kind of the sandwich group here in the middle that now has to look out for older people and for the children and maybe even for grandchildren. So serious challenges for finances. One of the things that I think is absolutely fascinating is this concept of time affluence. That is such a challenge in retirement. If you remember when the house was full and there were timetables and time pressures and work pressures, how we wished for, gee, I wish I had a bit of time. And I want to say, careful what you wish for, because it's going to happen. And then suddenly when you leave that office, there's this time affluence that now has to be filled in a meaningful way. You'll remember the example of the guy who was a very busy workaholic type. And suddenly when he retired, this void. And by 9 o'clock in the morning, he'd already done everything that he thought needed doing for the day. And there he sat. Like, what now? Indeed, what now, right? The other that is really awkward is the loneliness. Again, from a very full life to suddenly the loneliness. And it's one of the biggest stressors and one of the worst factors for positive aging. It's associated with depression of note. And in fact, it is estimated that somewhere between 25% and 40% of retirees are depressed.
Sure.
It's almost half of retired people are depressed. I think more so in the initial stages. Later, when we get to the consolidation and those last stages, then people tend to have settled, and when they find themselves, they feel better. But the depressed is also very much the lack of attention from other people. So until we've rebuilt our social structures, that is a very real issue. Relationships are a massive challenge in retirement. You know the little story of the woman who says, I married him for better or for worse, but not for lunch. And there are articles coming out about spousal intrusion, and to have your life set up and suddenly a bored person wanting you to change your routine, or even worse, telling you that how you've done things for 40 or 50 years now isn't good enough and he has better ways or she has better ways of doing these things, that can be a very big issue. And so to get partners to agree on finances, our children, on time spent, where to live, those are very serious challenges. You may know this, but there's a very real problem of gray divorce. Now, that is people over 50 or 60 getting divorced. And I understand that, because while you were married, you were so busy with children and work that you didn't realize how far you were actually drifting apart. And now suddenly you have to face this person and you don't know who they are or what you're going to say to them. And besides which, they're being a pain and underfoot. So, and then people also feel fitter. They may, some of them, if they're lucky enough, have some of their own money. And they think, why should I sit for another 35 years with this grumpy old person? Let me see what's out there for me. So we mentioned that the decisions need to suit the whole family. So that is a very big challenge, and kudos to the people who manage that nicely.
Yeah, and it sounds to me like that will be a different podcast.
It's probably
on making these decisions.
Yes, and, yes,
and
exactly.
Mediating what you call that ecologically sound system.
Yes.
Yeah. In a previous podcast, You mentioned primal fears associated with physical health and aging. What are they?
Right. Some of our worst fears are insecurity and abandonment. And I spoke just now about the subconscious interpreting things. Now, if you are, no matter if you've chosen to go to your little beach house, if you're not with your people, your subconscious is going to see that as abandonment. And then all the novelty in the situation brings a whole lot of insecurity. So those two are kind of fatally connected with one another. But then some of the other serious fears are loss of cognitive function, loss of mobility, because those again lead into loneliness and poverty and dependency, which are enigma to some people. But the insecurity and the perceived abandonment are probably some of the worst ones.
Yeah, I've never thought about the perceived abandonment.
Mm.
So, as you said, not being wanted at the workplace anymore is also a form of
abandonment. It's rejection and abandonment, of course it is.
Yes.
Now, one of the ways to handle that is if you know, for example, that you don't want to stay in Joburg and you want to retire to the coast, make a point of going there while you still have your CV. Get to know people who know you in your current position, so that you don't go as net noha uomo or noha tani. You have a presence when you go. So you need to dovetail into the new community also. And make sure that you visit there for longer periods to see, does the fantasy meet the reality? Because you might find that you've only been there during school holidays and it was a bustling place, and now you get there and there's nothing and there's nobody, and you haven't connected into the clubs or the church that is there, and then this loneliness. So one of the biggest antidotes to loneliness is to be proactive and to go out and meet people. Go to your neighbors and introduce yourself. Go to the club and say, hello, I'm so-and-so. Who are you? Let's have coffee. Because everybody is a little bit shy and reticent. There are not many people who can do this bridging thing easily. So it's worthwhile making the effort to do that.
Hanneke, getting back to stress, how do we know how stressed we are?
You feel it, but there's also a process until you feel it. And this is the worrying thing. In the 60s, there were two psychiatrists, Holmes and Ray, who did a stress scale, they developed a stress scale, because what they noticed in their practices was that people who had experienced serious changes in their life, many of the conditions that I'll mention just now that are very stressful, it was almost that the more stress they had, the more likely they were to become sick. Now, if we remember that stress increases nutrient needs and wears down your reserve, you can see how these things tie in. So some of the things that are particularly stressful and almost all pile up in retirement are, for example, stopping work. It gets a 45-point rating. Now, just about these ratings of theirs. If your rating of the last few, let's say the last year, was under 150, you're pretty okay. If it was 150 to 300, you have a really good chance of some horrible lurgy finding you. But if your score was over 300, there was almost nobody who escaped a serious illness. So it's really worth looking at, and one can Google Holmes and Ray and find them quite easily. The Ray is actually Rahe, R-A-H-E. Anyway, so a spouse stopping work at 26, changes in living conditions, 25, changes of residence, 20, changes in number of arguments, 35, revision of personal habits, 24, change in financial state, 38, divorce, 73. Death in the family or death of a spouse, 63 to 100. So if you think of all the losses and changes that we accumulate, it's really easy to get to a score of 200 or, yeah. or more. And so no wonder then that retirement is so stressful.
A quick note on what I do. I'm a content entrepreneur creating podcasts and articles on living a happier and healthier life by interviewing coaches, therapists, and other wellness experts from over the world. You'll find this content on my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za. And it's there to help you find just the right helping professional when you need one. The section Up Close and Personal on my website offers you a glimpse of the person behind many of the experts I feature. If you're a wellness expert keen on getting more in-person or online clients, or creating worldwide awareness of an issue close to your heart, let's talk about co-creating a podcast or article, or perhaps featuring you in a South African magazine. You'll find more information under Services on my website. To each listener, no matter your age, occupation, or where you live, how about creating your very own personal audio recording with me as a one-of-a-kind gift to someone you deeply care for? In this private interview with me, you can share childhood memories with your children or grandchildren, record a bird's eye view of your career or business, or speak about an unforgettable trip. The possibilities are endless. To find out more, just click on Gift Podcasts on my website. Now, back to my guest. Are there other circumstances apart from those you've just mentioned which can exacerbate our stress score?
Right. So those are just a few from the Holmes and Ray, so they're more there. But then there are those little things that we call daily hassles. Those are the little foxes that destroy the vineyard of your peace, right? And these are things like worries about the future, too many interruptions, misplacing or losing things. The cell phone and the keys, prime examples. Health concerns, not hearing well. Concerns about standards in the country or where we live. Load shedding, potholes, struggling with technology. So they don't add majorly to the score, but they add up. And they cause serious irritations. And I also notice with people, they bicker and they nag and they moan. And all those, if you're not in the group that loves the bickering and moaning, those things can be very disconcerting also.
Which factors, on the other hand, can mitigate retirement stress?
Okay, as I said, the planning and the preparation foremost. But we can start enjoying that time affluence. So sit and savor things. Savor the sunset. Really enjoy a cup of coffee with a friend. Look at the roses. Smell the roses. Do a lovely little walk outside. Read a good book. So things that are nourishing, not in a food sense, because don't want to all be fat old people, but but things that nourish your soul. And remember that breathing well and sleeping are your best ways to get rid of stress. The breathing thing is just so important. There's a very important thing around stress to remember, that we need to switch the stress off again. Because if that sympathetic nervous system that is aroused when we are stressed doesn't switch off and the parasympathetic nervous system doesn't take over, there's no healing, there's no repair, there's no proper digestion, there's no rest. And so all of those things also accumulate to take your body to a bad space. So the breathing thing is so easily, and just every now and then take a few moments to breathe. So the breathing is smell the roses, 4 counts in through your nose, blow out the candles, 6 counts out through your mouth. And it's amazing how that just resets your body. Now, there are other wonderful apps, for example, on Insight Timer. They have beautiful stress courses that you can do, and all sorts of breathing exercises and meditations. So really spend some time developing those strategies. And then the other thing about sleep that is so important, we need 6 to 8 hours. And if we don't sleep well, the glymphatic system in the brain doesn't clean out the waste products, and that is a very bad thing for mental deterioration. So we need good sleep for the cleaning crew to do its work properly in the brain. So, I mean, that's a whole story in its own right, but address issues of sleep if you're not sleeping well. Just briefly, on that Insight Timer app, if you look at the binaural tracks that you listen to with earbuds or headphones, they help your brain to calm down. So it takes your brain from the very frantic beta brain waves through to alpha, to theta, to the delta brain waves, where you can calm down, your body can clutch out, and you can rest and recover. So I absolutely love that app, and it now has something like 270,000 free meditations, so there's plenty good time to be spent there. Let's just see if there are a whole lot of other things. Remain physically active for as long as possible, and then don't make all your changes at once. We always say after a big change, lie low for about a year, so that your system can recover and you can check out what other opportunities are there. Get support from other people, discuss your plans with them, work towards getting things ecologically sound. Go slow on new commitments. Make sure that you have enough time for rest and a little walk by the sea. Focus on those things that uplift, those little savoring things that we spoke about just now. Join a mindfulness group. This mindfulness is a really big deal nowadays, and it's very worthwhile delving into that a little bit. Learn to meditate, because also those activities calm your body down and help you to de-stress as you go along. And then as far as food goes, eat a rainbow diet. There's a lot of focus nowadays on much lower carbohydrate, more towards the keto type eating, but fresh, colorful foods for all the nutrients, and avoiding the sugars and the starches to a much larger extent. And then there's some stress supplements that I really, really want to recommend. The B-complex nutrients help all the neurotransmitters. Magnesium helps the nervous system, all the contractions in the body. So even blood pressure is affected by magnesium. So I was listening to a podcast the other day where they were saying that blood pressure one of the biggest contributors to high blood pressure is the low magnesium level.
I never knew that.
So magnesium is amazing. Even when people don't have a magnesium deficiency, they cope better with stress if they take magnesium. And then there's some very interesting herbs, particularly rhodiola and ashwagandha. I love the rhodiola. The Vikings used to take rhodiola before they went into battle. So it's an age-old remedy, and it is very effective to help the body to cope with stress. So those are just a few of the things that I would say will help us.
Thank you, Hanneke. What I'll do is I'll mention these, for instance, the herbs in the podcast notes. If people are maybe listening in the car and they can't recall.
That's a lovely plan.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then what is required from those who are looking forward to good health and meaningful, productive years after turning 60?
I want to say don't fall off the bus too soon. Stay with it with technology. Oh, and please finish unfinished business that you have with people. Get rid of grudges, forgive people, sort things out with your family, travel light. Because I think that it is really horrible to have to deal with those issues when you're older. So get them out of the way so that you can live peacefully. I also think it's really important to keep moving and learning. And you have to remain flexible in your mind and body. Can't become this rigid old person. I'm always intrigued by this one sea creature that only uses its brain while it's moving. As soon as it implants on a rock, it eats its brain for food, and there it sits. So in a sense, if we don't move and keep learning, our brains also just deteriorate more than they probably would have otherwise. And the other thing that I just want to say here is make your moves soon while you still have capacity. Don't wait until you're sick and infirm to move into a retirement place. I think nowadays some of these retirement villages are so upmarket, and they offer entertainment and sports and all sorts of things that you can think of, and built-in company and care. So do that sooner rather than later. Because one of the worst things for me is to see these alone individuals who live alone in their big house and never see anybody. I personally can't see any point in that. So get yourself to a place where you're safe and there's built-in company, and do it quickly.
Thank you, Hanneke. Where can listeners learn more about your work?
I have a website, it's called Dr. Hanneke, and there's some information there. They can also connect with my book there. The upgraded version of Over the Moon is called Distilled Wisdom, and that one's on Amazon. I've kept it as an ebook because there are so many changes, it's nice to update it from time to time, but they can get it there. And then I absolutely love Pinterest. I have a huge number of Pinterest boards, but some that might interest people are the ones called Mindful Retirement. There's also one, Positive Living and Aging. And then there's a happiness one, which is called Over the Moon Is, all little jokes and funny things in there. And then there's Practical Spirituality. So, but they will see the other boards that are there if they're interested.
Thank you. I'll attach the link to your website to the podcast.
Thank you.
Then I will put the cover of your book into the podcast notes.
Thank you.
Which is a very good book, I just like to say. I've learned a lot from it, and I still look at it from time to time because I always see something new there. Now we've come to your three tips for making the best of life.
Stay in the now. Don't keep comparing yourself to your former self or to others. Be happy with what is now. And I think being grateful is just so important. Practice gratitude as much as you can. Thank people for what they do for you, and be thankful for whatever is going around. That positive attitude is just so helpful getting oneself through life. And also it makes it easier for people to want to connect with you. And then reframe whatever is happening to you, if you possibly can, to find what's positive. I had a very good example of a client who was very involved in music for her whole life, but she lost her hearing. And so she actually came up with this brilliant idea that now she can read more and she can contemplate more and maybe she will paint. And so it's those challenges aren't necessarily disasters. They may be ways that we can develop other aspects of ourselves. But challenges, they definitely are. But if we remain positive and look for what's good in the situation, we can usually get around that. In fact, I want to remind people of Viktor Frankl's work, that finding meaning, I think, of making life meaningful, something to that effect, where the people who had something to live for, who had a positive attitude, survived even the concentration camps. So our mind is really where our freedom is, and that is why it's so important to protect that mind so that we can use that freedom.
Yes.
Thank you. May I ask you a fun question?
Let's see about that.
Now, Hanneke, I've often said you walk your talk because you have so many things that you like to do. I mean, you have a whole string of hobbies, and one of them is that you're an enthusiastic gardener, right?
Yes, absolutely.
So my question is, if you could be a gardening hat, what would you be made of and what would you look like?
Oh, what flashed into my mind was a big straw hat with a wide rim, and it would definitely have roses on it.
Mm, beautiful. I can just picture that. Thank you, Hanneke, for once again illuminating this phase. As I told you before we started recording, it's becoming much more sort of in your face as far as I'm concerned, because I have many family members and friends who are now retiring.
Absolutely.
And we speak about these things. So thank you very much for offering clarity. I always think when one has clarity, one has a better chance of dealing with it well.
Yes, and I agree.
Most of all, thank you for being hopeful and including that in our conversation today.
You're so welcome. Thank you.
Thank you. And to our listeners, it was good of you to join us. I'd be honored if you'd subscribe to this podcast series. And if you found this episode meaningful, please share it with someone you care about. Go to my website, www.marietsneeman.co.za, for this episode's podcast notes and for free podcasts and articles on how to live a happier and healthier life and have more fulfilling relationships. To follow me on Facebook, Instagram or LinkedIn, just search for Mariette Sneeman Journalist. The podcast series Calm, Clear and Helpful is produced by me with original music by Mart-Marie Sneeman. Catch you next Tuesday at 9.